Sometimes we think that we can do things by our own actions, by our own abilities. It is not our abilities. Friends, what brings deliverance? The word salvation means deliverance. Because you are delivered from the wrath to come. You are delivered. Many times when we think of deliverance, we are thinking of being free from devils. But when God looks at deliverance, he's looking at your total salvation, soteria, your complete work of God in your life that has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what he did on the cross. But how that comes to you, the Bible says that the word is what changes us. The word of God is what changes us. It is the word of God that brings salvation into our lives. The Bible says in John chapter number 1, put for me John chapter 1 verse number 1. John chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was, let's read together, in the beginning was, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In the beginning was what? The word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. So, the word is God. You may be looking at it on your phone right now, but you are looking at God. Hear me, child of God. You may be looking at your phone and you are reading your Bible, or you may be holding your Bible, but that is the very word of God. That is God. What you do with the word will change, will either restore, renew, or doom your life. Verse number 2. He was in the beginning with God. Suddenly, you notice that the word is not just letters. The word is a person. He was in the beginning with God. Who? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. But the Word was God. The Word was God. He was with God. Verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. All things were made through who? And who is that? The Word. All things were made through the Word. All things were made through the Word. There was nothing that was made without the Word. If that is the case, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. There are 10. In the beginning, God did what? Created the heavens and the earth. Continued. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse number 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1, verse 3. And God saw the light. No, Genesis 1, 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. John chapter 1, verse number 3. All things were made through him. So when God is saying, what is he releasing? The word. All things are created by the word. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11. And now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Who? The word. When you keep reading, the Bible says his name is called the Word of God. Child of God, we discount the word. We discount the word. And if you look at verse number 12, let's continue. Verse number 12, the Bible reads, his eyes were like a flame of fire. Who? He who sat where? On the white horse, who judges and makes war. And on his head were what? Many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. Look at verse 13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Ah, and what is his name? His name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. Verse 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Verse number 15. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. Out of his mouth. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. Who is that? The Word. The Word. So, look at John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. Go back to John chapter number 1 verse 14. The Bible reads, let's read together. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, do you see who is the Word? Jesus. The Bible says the Word took on humanity. The Word that has creative power. The Word that has restorative power. The Word that has judgmental power. The Word through whom all things were made and created. That Word took on humanity. Took on humanity, and we began to look at that person. We began to look at humanity. Look what John says. The same writer of John. He says, what our hands have touched, what our eyes have seen. 1 John chapter 1. He says, let's read together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. John is saying, listen, the word of God became flesh. He took on humanity, and we were able to touch the word. We were able to see the word. We were able to hear the word. And what we located was that there was life in that word. There was life in that word. There was life in that word. Verse number 2. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested to us. Ah. What was manifested to us? But what is the word? Eternal life. He says eternal life was made manifest to us. I don't know if you're saying something, friends. The word is eternal life. And was revealed. Manifest is revealed. It was revealed to us. How was it revealed to us? When the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. You see, how many here want favor? We were reading, favor on me, I saw you going. Now, suddenly only three people. No, I asked, if you want favor, lift up your hand. You want favor. Thank you for the very few people here, especially the last line, nobody likes favor. Amen. How many want healing in their lives? How many want prosperity in their lives? I like the people that don't like prosperity. How many like prosperity? You're keeping your hand quietly downstairs, but listen, your heart is saying my hand is up. Listen, how do we get these things? How do we get these things? The Bible says, those that did healing, he said what? He sent his word and healed their diseases. You want healing? The word. You want prosperity? The word. You want favor? The word. John chapter 6 verse 63. Let's read together. It is the Spirit who gives life. Who is talking here? Jesus. Who is talking? The word of God. He's saying, the word of God himself who has taken on flesh. He begins to talk. He says, listen, listen. It is the Spirit, not single spirit, but capital S. It is the Spirit who does what? Who gives life. He says what? The flesh profits nothing. Your own ability has nothing. Look at somebody and tell them, your own ability has no profit. Look at them again and say, you think you are it. You are nothing. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. Many of us, we've put our own energy and our own power in who we are, what we are. I remember when I was young, when somebody does something, they'll just come to you and say, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Who are you? You are nothing. Because the flesh profits nothing. But what happens? He says, the words that I speak to you, the words I speak to you, they are spirit. Now, look at something, friends. He says, it is a spirit, uppercase. The words I speak to you are spirit, lowercase, because they are entering you and changing you. He says, they are life. So what is bringing life to you? The word. John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse number 10. The Bible says what? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to... Listen, the first level, the thief, who is the thief? The devil. The first thing he says what? He says he comes to steal. Many of us, our joy has been stolen. Our peace has been stolen. Our prosperity has been stolen. Our good health has been stolen. Our happiness, somebody says, has been stolen. And not only does he steal, he also wants to kill. How many of you, love has been killed? You no longer love. He says, and to destroy. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The word became flesh, took on humanity so that you may have life and have it. So, the reason the word of God has come to you and to me is that you may have life and have life in abundance. So, why do you discount the word? The first level that the word of God comes to you for is salvation. Romans chapter 10. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, let's begin from verse number 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Okay, pay attention to this. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. He's saying, who is going to take Jesus from up there or Jesus, wherever he is, to bring him to me? But what does it say? Let's read together. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which Pastor C is preaching. The word, where is it? near you. It is right here. Not only is it near you, it goes into your mouth because you speak it. I am the child of God. I am the whatever, whatever. You claim all those nice scriptures. And he says where? It is in your heart. Thy word, Lord, have I hidden in my heart that I will not sin against you. Then why are you sinning if you've been declaring it? Says that is what? The word of faith. Verse number 9. That if you confess with your mouth, what are you confessing? The word. The Lord Jesus. You are confessing that the word of God is paramount in my life. You are confessing that I am led by the word of God. You are confessing that the word is the final authority in my life. You are confessing that without the word, I am nothing. If you confess the Lord Jesus, you are confessing that my education with Jesus is everything. Without Jesus, it is nothing. You are confessing my finances with Jesus are everything. Without Jesus, they are nothing. You are confessing that the sum total of your life belongs to Jesus. If you confess the Lord Jesus, now he says, many of you are confessing, but you do not believe it. How many in here confess? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you believe what you confess? What you believe, you will act it out. What if you truly believe? Listen, friends. If you truly, truly, listen. When somebody says, I love you, and they believe in their heart they love that person, what do? They act it out. Mwah, mwah. And the woman doesn't believe it. You also. But if she believes it, she doesn't go, are you? She goes, are you also? What you believe, you act it out. Let's just be honest, though. Now, how many of you say, I love Jesus? How many say, I love Jesus? Let me ask you, the things you love, do you do things to grieve them? Husbands, when they say they love their wives, there are certain things they want to do, but then they remember. I love my wife. Wives, there are things they do, then they remember. Children, there are things they would want to do, but they remember, I love my parents. And they stop. Why? The things you love, you will always want to go the extra mile for them. Why don't you do that for Jesus? But you say, I love Jesus. I love him. But what's happening? The flesh profits nothing. It's pulling you away from the things you love. So, that is why Jesus said, many say, I love you, but they are sons of the devil. That was Jesus who said that. He says, if you believe where? In your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, if that were the case, how many of us have confessed and we've believed in our hearts and we are saved? But why do we continue living life as though we are not saved? It is because what we believed, we don't truly trust it, that it can work for us. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. To those who believe in his name. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. Verse number 8. Romans 8, verse number 8. John chapter 1, verse 12, what did he say? No, don't put it up there. We read it already, so I want us to quote it. What did John chapter 1, 12 say? I want to see if you're listening to me. I see those quickly going to your Bible. Are you listening to the word? To those who did what? Should I? Put John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1, 12. Let us read together slowly. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, I want you to see something. He says what? To as many as received him. Maybe go back to understand that better. Go back to John 1, 9. Let's read together. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Oh, he was the owner of the world, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Because he created us, so we are his own, but we have not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, hold on. What did he do? He gave them what? The right. Does that mean they are? If I give you the right to become a child, Abraham was given the promise, but did the promise belong to him? No. Until there was a great exchange on Mount Moriah. He says he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Verse 13. Who were born, now listen to this, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Underline it if it's your Bible. Who were born not of the will of the flesh. I want you to understand something and then we'll take communion. Let's go back to verse 12. Let's read it again. I want it to sink in. Let's read us together. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So, many of us, we have received Jesus, that he is Lord, that he is God. Okay? So, because of that, we have been given the right to become children of God. But it does not mean that we are. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. He says, I've given you the right because you've received. Oh, let me give this example. It may be a poor example. But anyway, let me leave it alone. Just focus on what I'm saying. Then you catch it, hopefully. He gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. He says, you've received me. I've given you the right. But not only is the right upon only those that receive, but you go now a step further. What's a step further? Believe. He says, to those who do what? Who believe. So receiving is not enough. Now you're saying what? You need to do what? To believe. But you see, when you believe in my name, there's something that needs to happen to you. Verse number 13. You who believe, you are born not of blood. It's not of normal, you know, mother, father, no. He's saying, not of the will of the flesh. Many of us, we have received, but we are born of the will of the flesh. We are born of the will of the flesh. We are born of the will of man. Let me help you. When we are growing up, we drag our children to church. And when sometimes our children, listen, I've been there. Growing up, I went to church not because I wanted to, but because my parents said, let's go to church. The will of man, not of God. And so I'm in church, not because I want to, But because I'm fulfilling man's will to be in the house of God, am I helping somebody? And because of that, it becomes habitual. Excuse me. It becomes habitual. And because it becomes habitual, it becomes now a religious exercise for me. Even when I grow up being in church on Sunday, but I'm not born of the will of God if the word is not transforming me. So many of us are sitting in church, but we are just religiously sitting in church. And we also have our own children, and we also transfer to our children because our parents took us to church. And so we also begin to drag our children to church where we are just there out of habit. So to those that receive and those that believe, who are born not of the will of man. Listen, it starts maybe from the will of the flesh. You have a desire to go to the house of God. You have a desire to go. Oh, the will of man, your parents take you. But something has to happen. There must be a trigger in your life that must release now a being born again by the will of God. Many of us were stuck. And that is why in verse number 14, he says, and the word became flesh. The word became flesh where? Now, let's talk about this. Let's look at this in context. He begins to talk about what? He says, those that received me, those that believe me, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of the will of God. In those people, my word becomes flesh. It is not on anybody, not on everybody. Child of God, whatever you do, you must hunger for the word of God to become flesh in you. The word of God to take humanity in you. The word of God to become alive. The word of God to permeate your flesh. The word of God. Ah. The word became flesh. Why do you think Jesus, the Bible says, as you are. John says, as he is. So, all right. So let's look at that. 1 John 4:17 is right there. What does he say? He says, what? Love has been perfected among us in this, in what? Let's read together. Love has been perfected among us in this, in what? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Hold on, hold on. You may have boldness where? In the day of, right now, if somebody tells you the day of judgment has arrived, how many of us will have boldness? What is causing boldness in us? John does not leave it to your imagination. He tells you. He says you will have boldness. Why? Because as he is, as who is? God, Jesus. So are we in this world. John chapter 1 verse 14. And the word became flesh. So as he is, who is in this world? You. So you must manifest the word. You must be a living epistle. You must be the walking word of God. Are you hearing me, friends? Many of us, we want things. God is ready to give us things, but we have not become the word. Now, let's wrap this thing up. John 6 verse 63. Hold on. He said, not born of the will of the flesh. Now, look at John 6:63. It is the spirit who gives what? Life. The flesh profits nothing. Now, go to John, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It will be sweet from verse 6. All right, let's read together. For to be carnally minded, he's saying to be of the flesh, is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many are spiritually minded? Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. What is he saying there when he says carnal mind? He's saying your thought process. How many of us think outside the word of God? Let's just be honest. We think outside the word of God. And God says the way you think is enmity. You become an enemy of God. Although you have said, I believe in Jesus, but you're an enemy of God by the way you think. He says, because the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. Let me tell you what that means. The carnal mind, the way you think, is saying, I gotta do it my way. Let me tell you what the carnal mind says on Sunday morning. On Saturday night, it's 2 a.m. The spirit mind says, you need to go and rest. The carnal mind says, the party is still going on. The spirit mind says, you know, you need to be in the house of God so you can be instructed. The carnal mind says, I'm still hanging out. It could be movie time. It could just be chatting. It could be whatever. It could be at a party. At 4:30, the carnal mind says, now go home. The spirit mind says, Are you sure you will wake up at 9:30? When you go to sleep on Sunday morning, the spirit mind says, wake up. The carnal mind says, shut up. I'm still sleeping. I'll go next week. After all, it is just church. You think it's just church, but to God, it is life. Are you seeing that? That is why the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God. How many of us wake up on Sunday morning and don't feel like being in the house of God? Even the preacher, there are times he doesn't feel like it. But that is a carnal mind. The spiritual mind says, get up and go. All of us in here, let's not pretend that we enjoy it. There are times you don't feel like being here. Including me who's preaching. There are times I feel tired. Not because I don't want to be here, but maybe the body just wants to rest. Now, let's continue. It says, so then, let's read together. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Then, those who are in the flesh, John 6:63, the flesh profits nothing. You can't please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number what? 6. We'll come back there. He says what? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that God is. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you? Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Can't please God. Verse number 9. Let's read together. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed, Paul is not sure. He said, I know you have confessed Christ. I know that the spirit of God, the spirit of life in Jesus has set you free from the spirit of death. But I am not really sure that although you've confessed, I'm not really sure if the Spirit of God dwells in you. He says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, let's read together the last part. He says, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. How do I get the Spirit of Christ? It's an issue there. He is not his. So we can shout hallelujah, we can sing, we can breathe, God breathe on me, Holy Ghost power. But if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you are not his. Verse number 10. It's getting hot in here. I'm beginning to sweat. Let's read together. Do we read it quietly or loudly? And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Is that true? But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Is your body dead because of sin? Verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Continue. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. No. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now, listen. He's not talking to non-believers. He's saying, if you live, you say you're a Christian, but the way you live your life is led by your carnal mind. What will happen? You will die. Remember what we just saw when we were worshiping the Lord, what I just showed you? The message of the Lord to us this morning. He's saying there are people in the house of God but are heading to hell. Why? Because we live our life according to the flesh, although we say we are Christians. He says, but by the Spirit you put to death the issues that cause you to fail to walk in the things of God, you will live. Now, verse 14 is where I was going. I spent all that time just to go to this verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And that's the end of the matter. That's the end of the matter. So, when you look at this, friends, he says in John 1:12, as many as believed, he gave them what? The right to become children of God. Just the right. Now, he clarifies it in Romans 8:14. He says, when you now give your life, you die to the things of the flesh. You begin to live for God. What happens? As many as are led by the Spirit, you now become a son of God. You become now a child of God. You become a child of God. And it is to such a people. The Bible says God will deny you nothing. He says, whatever you ask in my name, my God will give it to you. You will receive it. So it's not everybody. That is why many of us, we are praying prayers and we're not receiving. It's not everybody. It is only those upon whom the word of God has become flesh. The Bible says, even things you have not asked, I will give you. So you are looking for prosperity. He says, I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. Abundance means everything. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. Meaning you want prosperity, it will come. Healing, health, peace, everything is there. But the word of God must become flesh in you. Many of us, the things that we call success are works of the flesh. They are not works of God. And they are nothing before God. They are nothing before God. That is why in John chapter 6, in the earlier chapter, Jesus says, except you eat of my body and you drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Friends, the power of the word of God. That is why Jesus gave the teaching on the parable of the sower. The sower, let me leave that alone. He says the sower went to sow. The sower sows the word. Mark 4:14. The sower sows the word. He says if anyone does not understand the word of the kingdom, the wicked one comes and snatches the word away from you. Matthew chapter 13. Put for me Matthew 13, I think verse 12 somewhere there. I don't remember, but if you can find it for me. He says in Matthew 13, he says when anyone does not understand the word of the kingdom, Matthew 13:19. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, what we're talking about here is the word, and does not understand it. Friends, if you have not understood anything I have said, I'm telling you right now, the wicked one is coming to snatch it away. This is who receives the seed by the wayside. So you find nobody, you find no impact. Many of us were in church, but we don't understand the word of God. I remember one time somebody came to me and they would read the word of God, and after they read, immediately they forget. They would read, they'll forget. They're in church, they would hear, they forget. Until one day, God told me that there is a mind-blocking spirit working in this person's life. And every time the word of God comes, it just snatches it away. And so we prayed. Nothing seemingly happened. There were no manifestations. We just prayed. After that, today that person reads the word and they preach it. They proclaim the word. They speak the word. Why? Because, you see, the word of God is life. The word of God is power. When the word touches you, the word touches every aspect of your life. Even right now, if you're not understanding what I am saying, Some of us were thinking, wow, you know, it's taking too long. Today, pastor has talked forever. Exactly. The word, the enemy will put thoughts in your mind. And you find that the word will be missed. The word will be missed. Trust me, friends. It is the word of God that produces for you. It's the word of God that produces for you. This book. That's why Joshua was told what? He said, this book of the law shall not depart. But you should do what? Meditate in it. Why? Day and night. Joshua 1:8. He says, in this word, you'll find success. In this word, you'll find prosperity. Let's read that. It shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will have what? Prosperity, and you will be successful. And pray that we'll be found in Romans 8:14. A people that are led by the Spirit. A people that walk according to the word of God. That the word of God will become flesh in us. That we will become living epistles. Child of God, the world is looking for people who have become flesh. Whose word of God has become flesh in them. The world will make a beating path for such a person. I don't know where you are in life, and I don't know what you're trusting God for. You may be feeling discouraged right now. But I've come to encourage you that in this word, there's encouragement. You may be feeling hopeless right now. I've come to tell you that in this word, there is hope. You may be feeling like things are over for you. But I've come to encourage you that there is power in the word. Hebrews chapter 4:12 says the word of God is living and powerful. Hebrews 4:12 is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, separating bone and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. This word, friends, can change your life. It changed my life, and I know many of you in here, this word has changed your life. But let's take this word to the next level. Every one of us, none of us has arrived. None of us has arrived. But let's dig into the word. Let this become food indeed. Like Jesus says, my flesh must become food. Trust me, this word has life. This word has power. The word created the heavens and the earth. Do you not think this word can do the little things you're asking him for? If he can create the heavens and the earth and all that is in it, what more are your issues? He can change them. As you partake of communion today, have hope in the word. Trust in the word. Believe on the word. Live in the word. And make it your goal to study the word. Make it your goal to study the word.